Amen.
You may be seated. Let us move forward in our dissertation. Take your documents out. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehension of measures.
Scripture comprehension of measures.
The matrix. Into the document, let's go to the bottom portion of page 25. And also, take your Bibles. More importantly, take your Bibles. We're going to go back to Colossians this morning. Make sure that we bring all of this into focus in regards to the flow of the context. Last week we had focused on portions of this passage in defining who we are. It is from this basis that we understand or we are enlightened as to what our life is. He said, what is life? Well, our life is Christ. Everybody say, my life is Christ. This is going to be very important as we move through time and we move through the different flow of things in time. As we define the matrix, it's the grid wherein in all of the light of testimony has been placed and arranged for us to see, but then more importantly, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So the things that are there in so-called life or so-called in the matrix are the things that God has placed there for testimonial purpose. But when we look at these things, amen, as the scripture teaches us, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. So we're not looking at the things that are seen, a prima facie on the basis of what we see. But we look at the unseen, that is the Word of God, which gives true witness and authentic focus and definition to what we see. What we see is what the Word of God conveys when we're looking at the unseen. It pierces through the seen and gives us the purpose of what's there, as opposed to the processes and testimony of what is depicted before us. Now, we said all of this because we've come out of a turbulent week. Two great atrocities that occurred just 2 or 3 days apart. Now, this morning, many are asking, well, what is this? And again, we go back to what the Word of God has taught us. It's not what is this, but what is this for? God's purpose. God's purpose. I was taken aback. They brought on several distinguished ministers, basically on the national news and then even on the local news, for them to give some explanation to the events. As we all know, amen, this week on a certain day, a deranged person went into shopping center and just began to shoot and kill several people. And then just a couple of days ago, a deranged person went into school, elementary school, small community, not the kind where social crime is supposed to be running rampant. Amen. And he went in there and he kills scores of people. Amen. At least almost is running up to almost 30 people, about 28, 27 people, 28, including himself. And so they brought the minister in to sort of give some enlightenment as to what's happening. And I was sort of bemused, but didn't really not disappointed also. And the minister said, well, the question is not where was God and why didn't God protect those people and those children? The question is, why didn't we protect them? I was kind of taken aback with that, you see. But when you're looking into the matrix, all you have is a dichotomy. And you're looking there and things are not adding up. In fact, things are conflicting. And the more you look, the more confused you get. Amen. Another went on national news and said, well, you see, God, they took, the Supreme Court took prayers out of schools. And because of this, God is just taking his hand of protection off of us. You know, we did something, and so God's gotten tired of it. He's fed up, so now he's not going to protect us anymore. And first thing that comes to my mind is, well, oh, it took God a long time, didn't it? Because men have been doing things from the beginning. You know, it's like our mentality is that we do A and then God does B. And another theologian wrote a book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Well, the first thing, who's good? Go into the third chapter of Romans, who's good? Go into the seventh chapter of Romans, even Apostle Paul speaks of just how depraved he was. Amen. And so, if it's based upon merit, God responding in kind to us in blessings, if we are good, amen, he'll be good to us. Amen. No one will ever get anything. Amen. So that's not the way they look at it. And then some will say, "Well, God had nothing to do with that." Now, amen. Now I'm really nervous that if something is happening and God has nothing to do, he's hands off. He has nothing to do with it. Amen. As we look into life, it must be always on the basis of the Word of God giving us enlightenment as to what is there and what it is there for. And the essence that what is there is mere testimony and not the essence of the actual illumination and beginning of the origin of what's there. What's there is merely testimonially laid out there, amen, for God communicating to us some things. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. And basically, as this chapter, as we lay out this chapter here in the beginning, he speaks and he opens it that speaks of how, you know, his concern for them there and at Laodicea in Colossians and all the others who had not, Paul had not become acquainted with. But here, the Word of God had been conveyed in these ministries, and so he speaks of their hearts being comforted. This is what we need. We need encouragement. And the world today, we need encouragement. We need to have confidence and peace in the midst of all the chaos. Amen. There is peace. In the midst of all the conflict, there is peace. There's joy. In fact, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. In spite of all the, quote, bad things that are jumping out at us, amen, we have more going for us than the system can throw against us. Amen. The essence of it, in the eternal realm, if we view things, and as we view things in the Word of God, view things from the heavenliness, all things are, as we shall see here in a minute, are in place. Every problem that's out there has already been solved. In prophecy in the Old Testament, he said, everything that is wrong, I make it right. Everything that is crooked, I'll make it straight. That's in testimony. When we get to, amen, our gospel, the grace covenant, everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
Everything is already together. But here, our focus must be in the actual venue of where things actually reside. You said, well, things are messed up. We're saying everything is messed up in the matrix. Well, nothing actually resides in the matrix except testimony. So everything is messed up in life. Well, nothing, and I do mean nothing, and I do mean nothing, 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 is in the matrix or in life except testimony. Every hope that you have is an eternal hope. It's beyond the things that are around us. It's beyond the things that we daily encounter and we daily, amen, interface. It's beyond the trials and, amen, the tribulations and, amen, all of the vicissitudes of this life. Amen. And so, as we look into the matrix, amen, and see the essence of God's purpose, amen, it overrides, amen, the processes of the things that are there strictly for testimony. So life is more than what we see or what we consider life to be. Our life is Christ. Our life is in the eternal annals of all that God has already brought to a wonderful crescendo.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And so all is beautiful. In spite of what we presently interface. So in that second verse of the second chapter of Colossians, he said the purpose here is that our hearts may be comforted. In another place in Corinthians, Paul writes of the comfort, he said, that you would be comforted with the comfort that I was comforted. And he speaks of all of the things, the adversities of life that he encountered, and through them he said, I was comforted. And so I want to impart unto you knowledge-wise so that you can embrace this knowledge that will also comfort you as it has comforted me. Amen. And so there's comfort to be realized in the essence of who we are in Him. First, who He is, and then who we are in Him. So everything is about Him. So, amen. So what's in the matrix or what's in life does not rule us. What it is in, what is in Christ is what rules us. Now, and so as you look at that third verse, and this is not where I'm going to settle, because that second verse, if I go into there, I won't get out of there today. And that's as far as we will get. He speaks of seven things of being wrong together, amen, in love. He speaks of the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Amen. There's richness in the full assurance of understanding. Amen. The riches that belongs to the full assurance of understanding. Amen. The full knowledge. Where is this knowledge? The mystery. Not many, when we said the mystery, they won't know what you're talking about. Some novels. That's the volume of truth that was hid from ages and from generations until you get to the grace dispensation. The volume of truth that is the document of the grace covenant that conveys this knowledge, that views life not prima facie as what is reflected in the mirror or in the matrix, but viewing life from the source of life. What is the source of life? God is the source of life. And everything that exists is in His Word. In the same. Completed. Of which we are benefactors of eternal peace.
Amen.
Eternal love.
Preach it.
Eternal joy.
Yes.
But you know, to bask in the goodness of this, you must view life from the vertical, eternal view. Not prioritize the things that are around us now. They're temporary. This is why the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, we are admonished not to look at the things around us and prioritizing them, face value, and saying this is what it is. He said, don't look at those things. These are not the things that we look at and say, well, this is it. This is what it's saying. Simply because these things, the things around us are temporary. Everything that you don't like, don't worry, amen, it's not going to last. So a lot of things I like are not going to last either. But there are things that are better than what you think you like now. Where are they? They are the unseen things. What's the characteristic of the unseen? It's eternal. Now the ministry is not going to teach that, because we are more affected by things that we can see, taste, touch, and we can physically resonate with. And so this is where they go to try to give us some sense of stability and confidence. But there's nothing there. There's no stability there. There's no comfort and encouragement in life itself in the physical vein. Everything that is comforting and comforting in the sense of us having peace and joy is beyond the physical. It's beyond the secular. It's beyond the things that we look at and we call life. And so, as he speaks here, he is directing their attention when he speaks of the knowledge and the full assurance. He is not speaking about anything that's in the matrix. And when you look at the unseen, it's gone to the bottom line, which is the purpose, rather than the seen, which is the process. And so as that third verse, it tells us, in fact, I tell you, I can't go any further. We gotta read that. Brother, let's start in that third verse there and read verses 3 through 7. Amen. Hopefully we'll get where we get at least some of this in. In fact, I can't worry about this. The Holy Spirit, whatever He has deemed and determined, is where we're going to go today anyway. Amen. Starting that third verse. Everybody has that has Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Say amen. All right, read a read.
We're reading from the book of Colossians, the second chapter, beginning the third verse, King James Version. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Okay, stop. You see where he say he's speaking of Christ. 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 As he ends verse 2 there, amen. Actually, they got there, and of God, and of Father, and of Christ. That's not how that reads. You know, they put that in there, the Trinitarians. Right there. Actually, reading there is of God, comma, Christ. that had problems there. So, amen. So, but when you get there, and you start out, say, in whom you're talking about Christ. What's hid there?
Hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Now, here, this word treasure there, it comes from a word in English that we call thesaurus. We go to dictionary and it speaks of the origin, basically, and the character of a word, and it gives you some background of the word. So it's basically knowledge. That which speaks to the origin of a thing there. Amen. So here he speaks of the treasure of the thesaurus of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. Which again, it is directing us away from trying to define things in life as they are before us. You must take life on the basis of what it is. Mm-hmm. It's testimony. Listen to me this morning. Everything that you associated with now is temporary. And I get in trouble with this sometimes. Even our earthly relations. And our heart goes out this morning to especially the parents that lost the little children. And the deranged person went in and, you know, and shot and so forth and so on. And that many questions, you know. And basically, every life, amen, every person that exits out of the matrix, amen, everything concerning them having been placed in the matrix was fulfilled. God doesn't have, he doesn't need 100 years.
Amen.
50 years, 60 years. Because time has no meaning with God.
Amen.
God is timeless.
Yes.
And so for the purpose that he places the individual into time, on the earth, into the matrix, amen, when that purpose for that soul having been placed there in testimony is fulfilled, then that one is taken out of the matrix. And so, well, if I had had any type of intuition, I'd have kept my child home from school that day. They'd still be alive. No, you don't. If they had a little bit more security, this wouldn't have happened. No, you don't. Things are not laid out in contingencies based upon what we do. What's in this wealth of wisdom and knowledge is that God has placed everything in there for His purpose. Everybody say His purpose. So verse 4 read.
And this I say.
And I'm saying this.
Lest any man should beguile you with enticing words.
Should give you false notions. And persuasive speech that makes you think that it is any other way than what God preordained it. They're not gonna come on national TV and tell you that this atrocity, and it is from the viewpoint of time and from the viewpoint of physicality and life as we see it. Amen. But there are no tragedies in God. There are no tragedies in the heavens in Christ. And that for purpose. Everybody said purpose. It's there. Why did it happen? Because God placed it there for His purpose. Oh, there's somewhere where God didn't have anything to do with that. You know, you see, God, He stepped back and then, see, He put it, made everything purpose and then perfect, and then man messed up and so forth and so on. And I'm going to tell you, everything that's going down, amen, it's prearranged for the sake of testimony. And, you know, in the Old Testament, he said, I kill, but I also do what? I make alive. And now we bring that on over, and it speaks to the end, amen, that your real existence and real abode is in the heavens in Christ, and nothing is messed up there. Now, it's hard for us to understand because we walk by faith and we're affected by what we see, all of us, including me. But beyond that, the Word of God is speaking to us. And it's telling us that everything is okay. The real deal is fine. That there is order in the disorder, but you got to look beyond the disorder in time and see the order in eternity. You've got to look beyond the disorder in the matrix and see, amen, the order that is in the essence of Christ. Don't give Him a praise this morning. Saying, I'm saying all this to you that so people won't come along and give you some line that messes you up, persuade you. You know, sometimes things could get so involved out here until you say, well, they're messed up. It almost make you forget about God. This is what it is. And this is not what it is. Because this is not going to stay here. Whatever it is, it's going to pass. Every relationship that you have,
everyone,
is temporary. Your spouse is temporary. Your children, man, I know you're going to get in trouble now, Pastor. Yeah. They're temporary. All our relationships. Your mother is your mother for a period. And this is why Jesus said, well, who is my mother? your children. There come a point, 100 years, 200 years from now, they're not your children. Who they belong to?
God.
It's a temporary arrangement. Everything touching time is a temporary arrangement. You saying my salvation is temporary? No. Your salvation is not a component of time. Ephesians 1 and 4, you were chosen, you were son position, you were placed in him when? Before time. Before the foundation of the world. Someone said, that doesn't mean that. But tell me, what does it mean? I challenge anyone that is looking by webcast.
All right.
If before the creation of the world, if before time does not mean before the creation of the world and before time, then please tell me what does it mean.
Please.
That's where everything was not on a plan, but that's where everything was consummated. That's where everything resides. In eternity.
Amen.
We're going through these time frames. Amen. For the purpose of God communicating something to us. Amen. But as each one, amen, is fulfilled in purpose, it passes. As the King James said, it comes, but it passes. If you don't understand that, you're going to get stuck in some gear, in some frame, and you think that's what it is. Yes, if you were able to ask anyone that lived in the 18th or the 17th or the 15th century, any of those. What about this? They said, what about it? Where is it now? It's gone. This is why we must understand that our life is Christ. All right, read.
Verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ.
Now see what he is saying here. Speaking, even though I'm not there, I'm observing, amen, that this knowledge here is placing you beyond what's going on. And this, don't you think that these people had trouble during their time? You know, from the beginning, in the garden manifestation, hasn't been anything but turmoil, turbulence, disappointments, tragedies. Don't you think those that he writes to here at Colossians, don't you think they had their problems? Probably some of them much worse than what we encounter now, because you know we're in the age of comfort, so called comfort. Just a few days of any kind of disruption in the utilities, you know, the water, gas, you know, things. Of course, they didn't have any electricity back then, but they had other problems. Food, starvation, they had problems. But look what he's saying here. I'm observing joy and peace because the Word of God had directed them beyond the things that they were encountering. God, help us to know that life is more than what we perceive on a daily basis. And he speaks of their steadfastness through their faith in Christ, of that which God had caused them to comprehend. This wisdom and knowledge that he refers to in the third verse, that is in him. Everybody say in him. And this is the purpose of the exercises. We'll come in here week after week, and we're saying, look not at the things that are before you, look beyond the things before you. This is what the Word of God is telling you. You want some peace? Don't depend upon what's in the matrix. What's in life? Some things may be okay as far as to your liking. Gonna be a whole lot of the things you don't like. There's a whole lot of things I don't. There's a whole lot of things going on in my life this morning. Hey, I wish it was another way, But I don't run the universe. It's not my agenda. My course is not my course. Only it is my course as it has been assigned to me. And the other night we referred to it, I'm sure hopefully by now you've looked into that passage that said that your sufferings are assigned to you. Who assigned them? Who else but God has the power to assign anything? What the devil do? He's an instigator and accommodator, amen, based upon his assignment. But the essence of it is for God's purpose. Amen. He placed it there for a reason. And it goes beyond time. And it, amen, it is all settled in eternity. All right, Brother Deacon. Look at that cloud. Read.
Verse 6.
Now pay very close attention to this passage, to this verse. Read.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
So according to that which you have learned and understand to the witness, to the wisdom that God has given to you, that's the way you should live. Here in this verse here, amen, basically, we have the Greek word peripatete, which, and we transliterate that into English, we have a branch of theology that we call doctrine of what? Peripateology, which means how you live. In other words, say, what you believe determines how you live. As you have believed, as you have been imparted, given, and received this knowledge, that's the way you live. In other words, you live according to what you know, not according to what you see. Salvation is about our eternal relationship with God. That is the most important thing. Because that is the abiding, everlasting relation versus every other relation that is temporary. I love every one of you, but whatever relation I have with you is temporary. It's going to come to an end. But my relationship with God is forever. The relationship that I have now with those on earth, whether it's my wife, whether it's my children or grandchildren, it is a testimony in the annals of frames that in eternity are mere testimonies. What abides is my relationship in Christ. My relationship with God. That's where I am now. Now let me get this straight. Before the foundation of the world means that this relationship was the first relationship you ever had. And that it was not ever interrupted by time.
Amen.
You're in Christ right now.
Right now.
And as you move through the annals of time and you, amen, you escape out of those frames, amen. You say, well, where do you go? Amen. You have moved out of that which God has purposed for testimony, and you are where you always were. This is why you have the perfect tense there when it speaks of our abode. Where you are is where you were. In other words, you were in the body of Christ before you were ever, for testimony's sake, placed in these bodies.
Amen.
And you never left the body of Christ. That's why we have the perfect tense there.
Mm-hmm.
You were and are. And you are because you were. And the essence is, in this 13th chapter, 5th verse that we have in this section here of our discourse here, Paul goes back. He said, I am confident and I am enthused and satisfied, content, as it reads there, in the presenting of what's before me. What's been presented before me, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied with it.
Amen.
Now, of course, in our frames of minds where we are and where we sit as creatures in time, no, I'm not standing to you. I'm satisfied with everything that's going down in my life. But I am satisfied in the sense that I know that that is not my life.
Right.
My life is beyond the presenting of the things that are before me.
Hallelujah.
My life is Christ. I'm very satisfied with Christ.
Thank you.
And the essence of living is knowing that the essence of what's there and what's really there and what's abiding is okay.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What are you saying, Paul? I'm satisfied because the thing that really counts can't ever change. I'm in Christ and there's no possibility of me ever being out of him. This is why he says in another place, I'm persuaded that nothing can do what? Separate me what? From the love of God, what? Which is in Christ Jesus. Even all of the litany of things that he said, they'll come and go. And when he ran out of things, he said, now any other in creation can do what? Again, separate me. The bottom line of everything touching this life is that none of them can separate me from the love of God. Oh, give him a praise this morning. So this is what he's saying. What happens in verse 7 here? Verse 7.
Rooted
and
built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
He's not saying five ways to get out of something before we... before we praise God, is he?
No.
He's not talking about God, change this thing so I can praise you.
Nope. None of that.
He's not saying happiness and joy is being delivered from this and that and other. No, in the midst of these things, what is he saying? Read that from the Greek.
Having been rooted.
Having been rooted.
Being built up in him.
Whoa. Brother Deacon.
Okay.
Get your...
yes, but it's a passive voice.
The passive voice?
Yes.
Unless he's speaking in manifestation.
Mm. Being built up in him.
Uh-huh.
And being confirmed in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
As
yeah,
ye...
Yeah, he's done with manifestation now, okay. But it goes back to having been rooted.
That's right.
Which is a what?
Perfect passive.
I am rooted because I have been rooted.
Mm-hmm.
I have been given foundation. In other words, God pre-assigned it to you. That you don't look at life as life,
amen,
but you look at life as Christ.
That's right.
I think somebody missed that. I repeat that. We don't look at life as life. We look at life as Christ. It says, in afto, in him. Everybody say, in him.
In him.
Everything is about him. Your life is about Christ. Oh, God, no matter how much it seems that your life is about what you are dealing with, the Word of God is telling you your life is about Christ. So do I go with what I say, or do I go with what God has said? In him. And what? And being confirmed, what?
Being confirmed in the faith.
So, our confirmation is in faith. Say, well, how can those parents this morning that lost their children, how can they? In Christ. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
There are a whole lot of things going to happen in life that you're not going to like. Some of them are going to break your heart. But you have to learn to say amen.
Amen. It is.
And even when we're praying about things, what we say, Lord, your will.
That's right.
Not mine.
That's right.
So why did that happen? Because God decreed it, mm-hmm, and planned it. Mm-hmm. Why did he do that? For his purpose.
That's right.
There's more comfort in understanding that these things are in the purpose of God,
mm-hmm,
than to stand back and say, well, these things happen because I did this or you did that or the other, so forth and so on and so on. Those were the processes. How many times have I done dumb things, mm-hmm, and the Lord brought the thing out beautifully?
Beautifully.
And other times I tried my best. And and it came apart by the seams. Huh? What's the difference? It was never about what I did or didn't do, except in processes. So the purpose defies the process.
Amen.
That's why you can do it the same way and it comes out different ways. Or you can do it different ways and it comes out the same. Your life is not about you.
Amen.
It's about what God has purposed for you. Our life is not our own. Your purpose for living is not about you. Your purpose for living is about him and what he has for you. Oh, God, help us to understand this. If not, we're going to continue to go over the roller coaster ride. And each day, none of us know exactly what's in the next frame as we move through time. We might go out this week and something worse than what happened last week happened.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it might happen, quote, happen to us.
To us.
And this is why, as we have laid out in the book, amen, don't be what?
Afraid of God's will.
And everything is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't create a world, didn't step back, left some things unfinished. Let's see, this part is up to you. This is what we have been taught. And this is why God's people basket cases. Don't you know that that's not going to give me a comfort to think that something is left up to me? No, I'm going to have comfort in knowing, amen, that all things, amen, are laid out according to his purpose and the fact of who I am in him, lets me know, amen, it works for me, not against me.
Every bit of it.
If you understand that, life will wear you out. No wonder so many are longing. Just your life is a drag, and I'm just Every bit of your life is laid out in course.
Amen.
For his purpose. Not yours. And this is what he's talking about here, amen. And read the last part of that verse.
In the faith as ye were taught,
mm-hmm.
abounding in thanksgiving.
So, how are we going to live a life of thanksgiving? When we look at all of the things in our life that we say are messed up, what does Scripture teach us?
In everything.
Do what?
Give thanks.
I didn't say for everything. I said in everything. In everything that you're going to, give thanks. That's what he's saying here. Basically, he said abounding therein in the King James, and got the same thing in the Greek. Super abounding. In thanksgiving. How are you going to overabundantly thank God in the midst of your life? What am I grateful for? My bills are behind. I'm having bad family relations. I'm sick. I got this bad report from the doctor. How am I going to abundantly be grateful and thankful? Thankful for what? The essence of who you are in Christ. And the fact that everything that you're encountering is temporary. What really matters is what remains. And so we have to look beyond the things that are around us. The time we got left, amen, let's go to the bottom of page 25. We went through this last week. I'm going to just touch on it, and then, amen, we're going to hit another paragraph, a few paragraphs down. We're going to skip the exegesis because we've gone through that many times. And then we'll move out of this sector into another sector. Much of what? You see what at the bottom there of that paragraph that begins? Much of what? Okay, now. Much of what is assessed to intervals is dismissed as complete lunacy, which is forcibly ignored as the masses fail to overcome many images, or myriad images, and sounds that occupy their minds, even when misconstrued as viable. So you look into life and you say, "This things are crazy. This is crazy." Didn't that seem crazy what happened the other day? I said, "This doesn't make sense." That's all I heard, and it doesn't. In time, it makes sense in eternity. It's lunacy here. As I see it.
All right, come on.
But the unknown penetrates it. And the purpose clarifies it.
All right.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
The answers are not what's before us. Not what is this. What is this for? Such have been bombarded, and we dealt with some of this last week, so I won't go through every bit of it. Some have been bombarded by multifaceted media presentations. You know what I'm talking about. Before entering into their misconceptions, and the barrage continues once they're instigated. And they're there, and after a while, because they say it doesn't make sense. And I sincerely say it doesn't make sense, then it doesn't make sense. But just because it doesn't make sense in matrix viewing does not mean it doesn't make sense. Just because I think and you think it doesn't make sense does not mean it doesn't make sense. It may not make sense in process, but it makes sense in purpose. Reading again, the matrix has repeatedly exhibited deficiently unsubstantiated occupations within its, quote, choices, which grids define what they connote to represent life in the mass hypnosis of the present. Again, we've gone through that. What this initiates are the trivialities breaking their novice forums of indulgences, whose connections expand in deference of its sphere by benignly regarding what such is not inclined to perceive. The dismal capsule decisions represent routines that dormantness realizes. On the other hand, we dealt with this last week, the dazzling capsule involves defiance to the intimidating forces, generating illusions in such as eventually functioning within and of themselves. Let's go now to the last paragraph in that section. Let's turn to page 26. We'll stop here today. And this is where we have labeled this section. The dialogue of tendencies. Everybody see that? Mm-hmm. Everybody repeat. Dialogue of tendencies.
Dialogue of tendencies.
We went through that. Amen. Communicated. What does the communication serve? What purpose? So the dialogue of tendencies in measures the matrix. Lit in their mirror. They're mirror image depictions, but only a solitarily convened more in deliberations than accomplishments. It always talks about what is happening, what the things that are happening. You notice it never deals with what has been accomplished. What is in process, but not what's settled. What's in motion, but never what's complete. And if we take this up next week, we'll deal with, he spoke this, you are complete. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I won't deal with that now. Give me 3 minutes. These unreliable and unintelligible initiatives concede that their purposes are inherently exclusively in what their scopes converse, comprehend, and subscribe to. This is what it is, this is what it's focused on, and this is what I've got to depend upon. Where do we go from here? We don't have any answers. This is what everybody in the tragedy is searching. They're searching for answers. We have no answers. And as long as you're peering into the matrix, you're not going to get any. Why this? Why that? Why the other? Why am I sick? Why am I broke? Why did this happen to me? Why did I lose my house? Why did I lose my car? Not going to get no answers. Peering into the matrix. because that's not where the essence of it resides. One, encourage with anticipation, existence-wise, codify or regulate the globe of what either misinterpreted what transpires in to fit their mindset or receive in the countenances and situations what confronts them and their informal grandeur. The broad path of the farmer has many captured within. That's where most of us are. While all functioning of the unknown, unawakened in the latter, is fraught with hazards. That's where most of us are. Everything is shaky. In fact, we say life is shaky. Life is not shaky. That is, if you understand what life is. What is your life? Is it shaky? No. The dismal capsule is forever lurking in its best days as its dazzling capsule embarks on the novices of processing the mirrored decisions of its protracted peculiarities. What are we saying there? As we move through time, you got the good and the things that we're hoping for, and amen, and the best days and the good days, amen. But forever, there is all of the things that threaten. Yes. So we live a life of being threatened. That's not where we really live in Christ. Nothing is threatened.
Nothing.
I stand to lose this and that and the other. And as a nation, everybody's worrying about the economics and the country going broke. And I'm going to suffer as a result of it. And so the dazzling pill, as we misperceive it, is me somehow putting something aside to protect me. You know, this week, you know what we are facing this week? What's the date? Today's date. 16th. So we go tomorrow, the 17th. Right? Tuesday's what? The 18th. Wednesday's what? Thursday's what? Friday's what? Ooh, it's all over. Oh, y'all forgot it? Well, that's good if you forgot. There are some people that have gone up into caves and stored up all kinds of things. But it's good that you're sitting here this morning and that's not on your calendar.
Amen.
Some people. Amen. I'm not standing in to tell you that it can't happen. I don't know. You don't know? No. Not worried about it. You're not worried about it? No.
Amen.
Why? Because my security is in Christ. If an asteroid hit this earth, you know one passed by this past week, right? It was 3 miles long. And they had calculated it was missed the earth and it was far enough from the earth to not worry about it getting off course. But it passed through, I think it was either Wednesday morning or Thursday morning. And it's about 3 miles wide. And if it hit with this impact, it could really damage what life is. And a certain portion of the globe wouldn't see the sun for 6 months. But let's say an asteroid big enough to wipe out life on this earth as we know it with a hit. I'm safe. Mm-hmm. You're safe. Mm-hmm. Do you know you're safe? You're in Christ. Oh, we sing the song, but we're just talking. But it's true. What a fellowship.
Yes.
What a joy divine. What?
Lean.
Where?
On the everlasting arms.
What a blessedness.
Uh-huh.
What a peace is mine.
Uh-huh.
What?
Leaning.
Where?
On the everlasting
arms. Safe. Can you say safe?
Safe.
Can you say safe?
Safe.
Secure. Can you say secure? Can you say secure? From all time. It's not about what's happening in time, but what God has completed in eternity. Oh, give him praise this morning. God bless you.